Production. Recorded live.
Hi, my name is Brenda Lanoff, and I'm the creator of Brenda's Mindful Healing Show on Talk Shoe and Whispering Energetic Healing. That's my company. I'm an intuitive counselor, an energy healer, and speaker. So I work with, you know, many individuals that are actually sent my way and with some challenging health issues. And so my journey is to interview, guests that are really on, you know, they're just self-healing and self-empowered type of people, and really get information that can help the average person with some, you know, some serious health issues, and maybe perhaps not so serious health issues. And tonight, I really am happy. I'm just really thrilled about it. I'm going to be introducing Lorraine Cohan. And Lorraine is the founder of Powerful Living. She's an international recognized life architect, spiritual guide, inspirational speaker, and a charismatic broadcast personality. She uses her extraordinary spiritual and intuitive gifts to empower her clients to release their emotional burdens, heal their hearts, and deepen their connection with their spirit. So for more than 25 years, Lorraine has assisted thousands of people worldwide to live a life that is awake and authentic and really create the reality that is conscious, deliberate, and meaningful. Her warm and inspiring presentation style makes her a sought-after public speaker, media guest, workshop leader, engaging audiences worldwide. So thank you, Lorraine, for coming on to the show.
Well, it's my pleasure to be with you, Brenda, and thank you for inviting me.
Your bio goes on, and I'm just so pleased that you came on. And, you know, when I look at the information, and it's just like, wow, you've been on, from what I understand, a spiritual path for almost 30 years.
Yes. Actually, you know, I feel like I've been on a spiritual path my whole life. But certainly in the early 1980s, there was a very pivotal shift in my life, which caused me to ask much, much deeper questions that really catapulted me on this path that I have been on for almost 30 years. And it's been quite a ride.
So what was that event or that pivotal moment? Like, what was that, Lorraine, that really got you going on this spiritual path?
It was the death of my mother.
Okay.
And my mother died of leukemia.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been healthy for most of her life,
mm-hmm.
and had a diagnosis when she was in her early 60s and had a period of remission. And then what I believe happened was that my mother was dealing with some situations in her life that she felt helpless to change. And so rather than to make those changes, she created a way out. And I believe that she created leukemia in order to exit.
Wow.
And that really caused me. That relationship with my mother also had a direct connection to what we're going to be talking about with my diagnosis of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see her death and her life as contributing so much to my own journey and who I have become and the work that I do. And I am forever grateful to her that in her passing, she really blessed me with my own next step of awakening.
Lorraine, I have to mention to you, this is so parallel to what happened with me. My mother died of cancer, and the way that you just described it, that, you know, she with how it initiated this whole spiritual path for you, that also parallels what happened to me. That is so fascinating. Extremely difficult time, and your life does fall apart.
Yes.
Wow.
You know, it's not unusual that a person's death, you know, we hear this so often, it puts your own mortality in your face. It causes you to ask a lot of questions. Why did this happen? What could I have done differently? And of course, you know, there are all of these emotions that come up, anger, helplessness, grief, all of those just continue to cycle. And in my quest to understand what happened, finding myself on a spiritual path was very much of a surprise. It certainly wasn't where I had expected to find myself, even though I've always been very highly intuitive. I came from a background where reading about, you know, as a child, magic and fantasies, and I read books about witches and angels. So that was always a part of my experience. But when I started to look around, and interestingly enough, Brenda, I was living in New York at the time, and directly downstairs from my house around the corner was one of the most well-known metaphysical bookstores in Manhattan, was right downstairs. So you can imagine that I spent a lot of time reading and literally just whatever I could get my hands on, and that put me on a journey that has brought me to where I am now. And also during that time, I had what I would describe as a spiritual earthquake. I've talked about this and written about this to an extent. There was a very dark period after my mother's death where I had a sense of myself standing in rubble. And the awareness that came through to me was I have been lying to myself. I'm so full of crap. A lot of the walls that had insulated me from others and from myself really came crashing down. It was a very terrifying and a very raw period in my life when I asked the questions, who am I? Because I realized that I was a stranger to myself. That some people may call a dark night of the soul. And I've had three or four periods like that, that have literally brought me to my knees. And that was the first time in my life, not being a very religious person and not having the language to call myself a spiritual person. It was the first time that I realized that I had been living in a lot of darkness. You know, I don't have any idea where these awareness came. And I prayed to God, don't let me go back into that darkness again. Please help me to find the light. And I committed to my spiritual journey at that time, and I have never looked back.
Wow. That's amazing. And what we need to do to wake up, you know, what God will, you know, what messages that we have to live, you know, we have to live those messages that are sent by God and go through it to really wake up. And it sounds like that, what, you know, the spiritual earthquake that you were talking about really did crash your walls.
It crashed them and splintered them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned, like, what type of a business? Was this a therapy business that you had at that time?
No, I was actually living in New York, and I was working on Fifth Avenue as an account executive.
Oh. Wow.
And I successfully got myself fired. I went into therapy. That was right around the time that Shirley MacLaine's Out on a Limb came out, and everything inside of me just started shaking. And
wow.
I was very blessed at that time. The person that she wrote about, who was, I don't know if she described him as a medium, his name was Kevin Ryerson, happened to be coming into town and was having a gathering uptown. And I was able to get into that gathering. And at that gathering, I actually connected with some people who became part of my spiritual family. I mean, it was just wild because there weren't the kind of resources that people have now. I didn't have that then.
Yeah.
And it was really just a question of just following the breadcrumbs, you know, just going with whatever was happening And that's essentially what I've been doing. My strategy a lot of the time has just been following my instincts.
Right. Or your intuition. Or was it called instinct at that time?
Well, you know, I kind of used that, you know, a little bit interchangeably, you know, when it resonated. And there were times that I certainly didn't have language like this resonates or this feels right. Mm-hmm. There were moments that felt so intense that was more of a combination of a yearning and a pushing.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, you know, just looking back at that of where I was, and there are times when people will say to me, how did you get from there to here? I have no idea. I couldn't even tell you that I did this, 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 and this. I just did whatever it is that I did, mm-hmm. and people were brought into my life, and doors opened, and windows opened, and experiences happened, and my heart broke open, and I created experiences and had major meltdowns at different times in my life and walked through some of the most painful periods I ever could have imagined. And if I could have seen ahead what was in store for me, what would be brought to me and what I would create, I hope I would have said yes. But there is such a blessing that we don't get more than we can handle, that we get little glimpses and sometimes no glimpses at all, so that we can develop our strength and we can find our confidence and discover and rediscover ourselves over and over again along this journey. And I have not regretted one moment of it, even in the most painful periods. And I'm just coming out of a very painful period.
Can you tell us what this painful period is? I believe I know, but...
Anyone in particular?
Well, I would like to hear about the cancer.
Okay.
And, yeah. You know, there's many people that I work with that do have it, and it's so refreshing and inspirational beyond when you talk to people who have asked you, like, okay, I had it, and they're moving on. They're not buying into the stories.
No. I would love, you know, I have shared this story a number of times. It's been interesting to see where it lands with people, Brenda. When I was at a period about, I think it's about 3 years ago, you know, I'm kind of losing track of time, and I had put out a prayer. I don't think that I understood the magnitude of that prayer. And the prayer was to who I see as God for myself to stand in unshakable faith and trust.
Hmm.
And as a result of that prayer, there were many things that began to happen in my life. And also in this period, especially since 2012, we know that there is such a humongous energy shift happening on the planet that we're there, you know, our stuff is being kicked up.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been on a committed journey, both in the work that I do with clients to help them to clear the past and to heal their heart and come into a deeper relationship with their soul, that I very much on that journey myself.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went for my mammogram, and it was not unusual for them to have me come back and have another series of x-rays, and, you know, because there tends to be some density in my breast tissue and also cysts, I recall, run in my family. So when they said that they saw something and recommended a biopsy, I kept tuning in, and I was working with a very dear friend of mine who is a very gifted healer, and everything felt as if it was going to come back as some calcification. And to be perfectly honest, Brenda, I was very much at peace with most of it. The most distressing part up until that point was just, I don't like needles, and I can lapse into a full-blown anxiety attack. I mean, if anybody's ever had that, it is unbelievable. And I've had that a couple of times, and it is unbelievable.
Yes.
And so after the biopsy, they said, we will let you know. And when the doctor's office called, probably, I think it was within 48 hours, and they said to me, the doctor would like to talk to you, I knew that the results was that they found something. And I did not freak out. I can't tell you why I didn't. I didn't try not to. I was very calm. Almost the best way that I can describe it was that I experienced myself from a witnessing place. If I was observing the information, and that's part of where my own journey has taken me, is out of the drama in the story and more into a back observer place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there was a series of things, obviously, that happened as a result of it. There was a certain irony. I was in between health insurance at the time. I had health insurance for 30 years, and I was in between at that point. And, you know, people will say to me, oh, my God, of all things to not have during that time. But what was very interesting was when I got to the doctor's office and somebody that I was working with, and with her connections, one of the first things that she said to me was, let me give you the good news. Because of the programs that we represent, whatever medical costs come as a result of this will not cost you a dime. First hand of grace, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what transpired was I was very blessed to have one of the top breast surgeons in the area at one of the top hospitals. I mean, you know, there was so much grace that happened as a result of it. It was astonishing. And when he spoke to me about what they saw, it was very, very small, and it was in my right breast. And what he suggested was the traditional protocol, you know, have a lumpectomy, then the aftercare, which they recommended. And I listened very carefully, and I wanted to be very, very clear that whatever decision I made was not going to be made out of fear.
Yes.
And I came home, and I had some conversations with my friends, many of which were local, and they were all just waiting for opportunities to be able to help me in different ways because they had benefited from so much of the work that they had done with me. I mean, it was
lovely.
It was amazing. You know, I mean, there were times I just cried with the love of, you know, this one prior client said, you have literally, you changed my life in ways I can't describe, and please let me be there for you. And she wanted to, you know, drive me to the hospital and cook food for me. And
wow.
So being a receiver was just extraordinary at that time. And so I did my due diligence. And the other thing that I did that felt absolutely critical was I went into meditation and searched for my guidance, because I also knew that with the energy changes on the planet, whatever decisions I made, I wanted to make those choices that would resonate with these energy shifts.
Yes.
I don't think that's something everybody thinks about.
No, that's a great suggestion.
I wanted to look at with what's being recommended and my body is up-leveling, will these choices be compatible with these vibrations that my body is moving into? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I also looked at making nutritional changes because I can certainly stand to drop some pounds. And ultimately, what I decided to do was to have a lumpectomy, which went very well. I did have to go in a second time to clear out the margins, you know, just where it was. My lymph nodes were completely clear. There was nothing about this experience that did not have a hand of grace in it. I'm not kidding. I mean, the way everything was handled, Everybody who rallied to support me, I did not lose any work at all. And I made the decision not to do radiation and chemotherapy. Every cell in my body said, do not do this. Mm-hmm. And when I also looked at how far that cancer treatments have progressed and the variety of options available to people, it was very clear that I needed to pay attention. And there was one other piece that I felt was absolutely pivotal in this experience, and that was I became aware and felt very clearly that I had created this experience because of a conversation I had had with my mother that was a source of pain for me to remember. And I had talked about this situation with my mother over the years, but I did not realize that I had been harboring so much anger mm-hmm. and unforgiveness and guilt related to that conversation. And it was a conversation that I had with my mother when she was in her late 50s. My mother died when she was 66.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in my late 20s, I believe. And my mother had come to me and told me, you know, and parents, they didn't really talk about anything unless you just kind of pulled it out of them. My mother sat down with me, and she told me that she didn't love my father anymore. And my father was a very good man, but he had some habits, as we all do. And she could not tolerate some of those habits anymore. My mother didn't drive, so she was dependent upon my father.
Mm-hmm.
And her comment was, he's a good man, I'm unhappy, and she didn't feel that she had any options to leave. And I remember saying to my mother, and when I was first getting in touch with this, around the time that I had gotten this diagnosis and I retold the story, I was sobbing. That's how mm-hmm. much I knew there was a charge. I had told my mother it was too late. She couldn't change my father. She had sat on this for 30 years.
Wow.
And he would never understand. And I didn't have the words to console her. I didn't have the words to encourage her. And somehow or another, unbeknownst to me, you know, several years later, my mother died. And I didn't realize that I was harboring a feeling that because I hadn't helped my mother, that I had abandoned her. She had never abandoned me. I had abandoned her at a time of need because I didn't have the words to console and lift her up, and I contributed to my mother's death. That is a belief that I put on myself that I saw played out in the breast cancer.
That's so interesting, Lorraine. It's so interesting because I also, with my mother, you know, she had colon cancer, several operations, and just eventually just cancer spread throughout. But I also felt I never had the knowledge at that time. For example, I'm really big on colonics, and, you know, if she had knew that perhaps we could move the tumor through the, you know, through this process of hydrotherapy. And the guilt, I was carrying this guilt.
Yeah.
And also, I took on the belief that it was my role to carry her sadness, her burden. So it was up to me now. The torch has been passed.
Mm. Isn't it interesting the things that we do to ourselves with those that we love? What I also realized that as a result of that one very powerful conversation, part of the work that I do with people is help them find the words and help them find their voice. I hadn't immediately put that together, but that's definitely one of the things that I do. So after I had the surgery, and to my surgeon's dismay, I was done. And I went about my life, and I did not see myself as a survivor. There was nothing about that experience that was a negative for me. This is what's very hard for people to hear. They will say to me, I'm so sorry that you had that experience. I'm not. Are you listening to what I'm saying? It was a blessing for me.
Yes.
I so brilliantly created that situation so that I could clear that pain. How brilliant am I?
Exactly. Isn't that amazing?
And then to be able to turn around and say to women, you have options. Uh-huh. If you find that you're dealing with any kind of disease, that is your body's way of telling you, you are holding on to some pain your body is wanting to release. Have the courage to do the work. Don't do it by yourself.
Well, Lorraine, is that something then that you're saying you help the person who's going through whatever situation as to the language?
I help them to deal with the pain. I help mm-hmm. them to move the pain, and I help them to put words. A lot of the work that I do with people, Brenda, is on forgiveness because that is so associated
yes.
with a lot of this. So I do a lot of very deep forgiveness work with people and self-love work with people. There are different processes that I do with people to help them open and heal their heart, to let go of the past so that they can come back into harmony with their true self. And the divine supports me in all of these sessions, whether I'm doing it in a group or whether I'm doing it in a private session. The other thing that I also do is help people to find their own strength and courage to make the best decisions for themselves so that they don't give their power away and they
yes.
don't make choices out of fear. So it's really twofold, the inner work and also finding your power.
And it's so crucial for people to you know, find individuals like yourself and, you know, for the coaches out there and to you have to find them. You have to do your research
yeah.
and you need support. And a lot of people just, they do not have the support around them, immediate around them, and they cave in. And that's what makes me sad for them.
Yeah.
It's just,
a lot
just
of people
giving up.
Will just do what the surgeon says because that's what they do, and I think that there is a time and a place for people to add chemo and radiation if that's what feels right. And what's an, also an important piece to mention with this, Brenda, is if because I also added a lot of alternative therapies. I added acupuncture and massage, and I brought on some of my own healers. You know, I don't want to be self-facilitating all the time. I want to be able to just really roll up my sleeves and go deep. If you
okay.
have a belief that the traditional route is the only thing that is going to help you, then that's what you must follow. If you're being encouraged mm-hmm. to trust your guidance and work with some of these alternative therapies, but you don't have any confidence in it, that won't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have a buy-in. So it's
yes,
very important that the choices that you make are in harmony with what resonates with you, even if there are other options that could lead you to a better place. If you're not in with that, you won't be open to it.
I totally agree with you on that. It could be the radiation and the chemo, and if you're buying into that is going to heal you, then great.
Yes. Absolutely.
And you know, no one can really sit back and judge on that. It is a real personal decision, but I totally agree with you. You have to buy into that. You have to feel really confident that that's the best choice for you, and
yeah.
that's what's going to work. And for people, some people that are doing the chemo and radiation, it works because
the
they bought into it.
The other thing that really concerned me is the trauma to the body with all the cutting. I had never been cut before. And what also happened, I want to just throw in, about 6 months later, we did a follow-up mammogram, and my surgeon says to me that they found a little of the cancer about an inch from the incision. And I thought to myself, crap.
Yeah.
And I sat down, and I tuned in, and I realized, because this is important, you can let something go, and if you haven't completely let it go, you'll pull it back.
Yes.
I still had some guilt associated,
mm-hmm.
and I had pulled it back, and it was recreating in my breast. So my surgeon said to me, he wanted me to keep an open mind, and he said to me, you're a smart woman. Of course, when I heard that, I thought to myself, do you really think I'm a smart person? Because you don't agree with my choices. And he said to me, you have four choices. You can have a mastectomy, and I thought, yeah, right. Not in a million years would I do that for this. he said, you can have chemo and radiation, you can have another lumpectomy, or you could do nothing. Now, also at that point, I went back and I did some more of the deeper work that I got guided on very, very quickly, and I know that I released that piece very, very fast.
Okay. And what was that piece, Lorraine, that, you know, can you share that? What was that last piece?
You know, I'm trying to remember because I really released it in a matter of minutes.
Wow, it was that fast.
It was that fast, and it was, from what I can recall, Brenda, it was a declaration that I had said to my mother about that cut the connection, that I made a declaration of my own health and my release from that energy. I released the guilt.
Mm-hmm.
I stood, and I did this verbally. I talked to my mother directly about forgiving her and forgiving myself.
Yes.
I released myself from what I had been holding on to and gave myself permission to have been the best person that I could have been. And I also thanked her for that experience, for the gift of what I learned from that I can now help people with now. And I just took a very positive rather than a victim position with that. And I liberated myself with the language that I was guided to say at the time. I can't even tell you what those words were because they really came from my heart. And after that, I then called on the Archangel Michael, and I asked him to cleanse all of that, to transmute it into light, and to cut the cord between
Perfect.
My mother and I on that issue.
Perfect.
So
I love it.
I did nothing for 3 months medically. I mean, there were tests that the surgeon wanted me to do. And
mm-hmm.
I requested a follow-up mammogram after 3 months, which they said we don't normally do, but, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways. I
mm-hmm.
was given permission
mm-hmm.
to do the mammogram. I was ready to pay for it, and I didn't have to do that. And the radiologist comes in and says, we don't see what we saw 3 months ago. We
oh,
see
wow.
something that looks very benign on both of the cysts, didn't recommend a biopsy, and said, let's check it in 6 months. So a week before my birthday, I had a conversation with God, and I said, I'm really feeling nervous about this. I'm really feeling uncomfortable, and I will accept whatever this is. And I went in, and, of course, you know, they called me back in. Let's take another X-rays. And then the radiologist came out and said, everything looks great, Lorraine. We'll see you in a year. Now, had I reacted to what my surgeon had suggested, and I was not me, I could have agreed to have a mastectomy. I could have had radiation and chemo, and I could have had a lumpectomy, none of which I needed. Because
yes.
the body is so brilliant. It will heal itself when you give it what it needs. I've made nutritional changes. I exercise. I meditate regularly. I have definitely made some changes that really resonated with supporting my body in a different way. I'm still continuing to do that. But it wasn't necessary for me to create anything more, and I'm grateful for all of it. That's my story.
Yeah. Hey, Lorraine, do you find, like, with your mother that's passed on quite some time ago, do you get, you know, feel her at times surrounding you, or do you communicate with her, and do you have your conversations with her?
Or not?
It's always interesting to see.
You know, I believe that when I think about her, she's letting me know that she's around, and I do feel that she was with me during these experiences.
Hmm.
And I don't know if I had that sense at the time because there was so much happening.
Uh-huh.
And I suspect that she was around so that we could both experience this level of liberation. So I used to since her earlier on when she died. Mm-hmm. And I would say since she died almost 30 years ago, over 30 years ago, carry this over 30 years. I mean, it's astonishing what we carry in our bodies.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't necessarily sense in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when I think of her, you know, when she starts popping into my mind or I find myself starting to talk about her, I feel she's around.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk about liberation. Well, you've just liberated your mother.
Yes.
I mean, how wonderful, you know.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And who knows how far back generationally that, you know, that,
exactly.
you know, she's carried the guilt. It could go back a long, long ways. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I
wow.
So
you've broken
grateful.
The chain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so, so, so grateful. What I want to say to women, Brenda, is don't be afraid when you discover things are happening with your health. These are times of courage, and stuff is coming up because our bodies are wanting to release it as we're moving into higher states of consciousness. And as I said earlier, don't do this by yourself, because having the courage and being able to sustain the inner work, which is critical, you know, whatever we're not releasing is impacting on the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And the body doesn't want to hold on to all of that energy. So when these kinds of situations come up, you're being given an opportunity to really stand in your power. And
yes.
There are so many success stories like this of people seeming to have instant healings. Our bodies are capable of the most amazing things. There is an intelligence in every cell of our body. And when we allow the body to do what it does best and to heal naturally, we can experience extraordinary things. And this has been going on for a long time. I mean, look at Louise Hay and, you know,
mm-hmm.
some of the other people out there who have turned their lives around. And with the shifts in energy, we have an even greater capacity to create miracles, more than ever before.
Yes. And also to believe that we can stand in our power. I think for a lot of women, they have felt powerless. I think that's shifting gradually right now, and maybe it's speeding up somewhat. But it's like, yes, we are entitled to stand in our power.
Yes.
And
we
that's
have
the message
a tremendous
that
amount
people,
of power.
Yes.
Yes.
And to surround ourselves with like-minded people who can support us on standing in our power.
Yes.
Making decisions with that doctor, you know, taking the time, meditating, praying on it, what is the right decision for me?
Yes. And I never saw myself as a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I didn't care for the semantics of it. I didn't see myself as surviving something. I really saw myself as walking through an experience. I had an experience, and this is the way that it played out. There was a woman who emailed me, and she said that she was a breast cancer survivor, and finally, after 5 years, she is no longer feeling that her body has betrayed her. And I thought to myself, my body has not betrayed me. My body has been in service to me.
Ah, yes. Different language.
Yes. Different perspective.
Yes.
And some of it is really because of the way that things have been presented. It's time not to have breast cancer awareness. It's time for us, I don't know what I would call it now, but it's really time for us to really come into that place of breast cancer or cancer questioning or clarity. I forget how somebody put it, which was really brilliant. There is also another woman that many people have probably heard about, and the woman's name is Anita Morjani. And she wrote a book called Dying to Be Me.
Okay, yes. Heard
of her. She was in such an advanced state of a cancer and literally died and came back fully healed. Fully healed. The doctors couldn't make any sense out of it because her body was riddled with so many tumors that they put her through a whole thing of chemo and radiation, and they were baffled because they couldn't find anything. So
she died.
She died.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she had a death experience.
And
in that experience, I'm sure she has a lot of memories in regards to that. Not everybody does when they have death experiences, but for herself, did she come back with her?
Yes.
Okay.
She did. She came back having touched God and been touched by God and knowing, and she talks about it, how perfect we are, and she talks about love, and she talks about life as being a tapestry. I mean, it is a book well worth reading.
Okay.
Because she really speaks to, and I think she was the one who was saying something about it's not about, you know, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, that, you know, she was talking about it from a much broader perspective.
Yes.
But it's a fascinating book when you realize what had happened to her and what she came back with. And it's messages like that, whether it's cancer or anything that we're dealing with now, is to understand that we are creating all the time and that whatever we create, we can also uncreate.
Yes.
And, yes, there are definitely times when situations just may not be able to be turned around. But we have so much power along the way, and we're being invited. Yeah.
Sorry, do you believe in the blueprint of the body, that we come onto Earth and we have this blueprint and that we can alter that blueprint at some point in time? Is that...
The best way that I can answer this, because there's so much information out there that covers so much information. I remember there was a movie that I was a part of a promotion for. And the movie, I'm just walking over to get the name of the movie, because in this movie was Bruce Lipton.
Yes.
And Bruce Lipton is very well known, as you know, about talking about genetics and body. I'm just the name
yes,
of the movie.
Yes, come back to me.
Yeah, the name of the movie is The Cure Is.
Yes.
And one of the things that he says, if I recall, and if I misquote, please forgive me, is he says that many people think that when things happen, it's genetics, and he says that genetics can be altered. In fact, right now, a lot of the work that I'm doing in my meditations, there is a process that I do every day with the divine for 30 to 40 minutes. And one
lovely.
Of the requests that I make is for God to repair my DNA.
Oh, love it. Love it.
And I do this every morning. And I experience the divine working through my body with the requests that I'm making. It's not something that I would describe on a call like this because I take a lot of responsibility with this.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's a process that I would simply throw out. It's
uh-huh.
something that I would work with somebody on. It's just
yes.
a very, very intense process. But our DNA is being repaired, and our genetics can be altered. And there's a lot of information that we have been told that is being disproved.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the things that Greg Braden talks about, and I know some
uh-huh.
people don't agree with him, but there are a lot of people on the cutting edge who are starting to bring forth information that I think is very exciting, and we're ready for it. So a lot of myths are being exploded.
Yes.
And I would say, don't be so quick to believe everything that you hear. Be willing to question it and challenge it, and then ultimately bring it back to your own source for your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Every question that you have, bring it back to the divine.
Lorraine, can you tell me, I'd love to, I'm going to be in contact with you here shortly, personally. I just love this whole idea about working with the DNA. But I know you do these heart healing monthly calls. Can you tell us about these calls that you do and get into other type of work that you do, and then give us some information how people get in contact with you.
Oh, it'll be my pleasure. I actually have the next heart healing call scheduled for tomorrow. I do it once a month, and I'm doing a two-part energy process on clearing money blocks, and I have found that there is a relationship between money and forgiveness, or money and unforgiveness. So I'm coming off of doing a three-part series on forgiveness. And so we're going to be doing this process tomorrow, which is we start with a brief centering, and then there's a little bit of content, and then I literally step aside and let the divine speak through me to create an energy experience for people to work within, and people who are sensitive to energy will likely feel the hand of the divine through the experience. It can be very palpable for a lot of people. So I'm going to be doing a process that was given to me, plus a second process, which I don't normally do a back-to-back process, but I am going to be doing that. And there was a process that came to me about 2 years ago about doing some healing with money. So we'll be doing that. And I love doing the heart healing calls because that's where I think so much of the liberation is coming, is the opening and healing the heart to blossom. That's
yes.
How we move into higher states of consciousness.
That whole forgiveness is so massive.
Massive. And it's ongoing because as long as we stay in relationships with people, there will be an opportunity to forgive. And many people are very uncomfortable with the topic of forgiveness. They have a lot of confusion about it, and they think that forgiveness means that whatever that they're upset about, that it was absolutely okay and the person is off the
right.
Hook. That's not what
absolutely.
Forgiveness means. And just saying you forgive somebody doesn't mean that you've forgiven at all. They're just words. If you don't feel it in your heart, you have not forgiven. And as long as there is still a charge associated with it, there's more forgiveness work to do. So anytime I am working with somebody that has any kind of a health thing, I always look at unforgiveness, always.
Wow. And, you know, I could just think on a daily basis because I get stirred up about certain people and situations, and I must say, Brenda, let it go.
Yeah.
Just let it go. This is ridiculous. But it's become a pattern and a habit.
Isn't that wonderful that you can see it?
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm so ready, you know, and just to move through these times and through these shifts and to do the work that I'm doing, you know, you just have to be the best that you can be for yourself.
That's all you can do. And it's not about doing techniques. It's not about getting rid of anything.
Mm-hmm.
To really transform something, you have to be willing to meet it where it is, to feel it, and know how to hold that space so that you release it, and to understand that there can be many layers to it, and if there is, which is not unusual, each time another piece comes up, to bless it and not judge it or get frustrated with it. And this is a very tricky place, is to stay out of the story and to stay in the feeling. That's where you will release it. That's a lot of the work that I do with people, is helping them to learn how to really release permanently.
And nice, and not to get in, stay in the story.
Right. And that's
absolutely.
The tricky place. Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Now, you also do this master key technology as one of your best tools. So what's that all about?
That is a tool that I started playing with about 6 or 8 months ago. A friend of mine told me about it. I've always used theta healing music with a lot of the meditations that I use. And this technology is very cutting edge. A lot of people in the wellness and health field use this technology. It is about the size of an iPod, and you get glasses that that have these blue lights. So it's a light and sound technology, as well as different tracks that have a theta embedded, and it's a phenomenal tool that I started representing, that I use to work on a subconscious level with light and sound to begin to shift some of the beliefs. And it's a phenomenal. It's great at releasing stress. They have a lot of different categories working with cancer and health and spirituality. In fact, some of my personal tracks will be part of their library so that people can download them into this particular technology. And I sell it on my site. I put together a really, really good price. People can try it out for 30 days. And if you use it consistently, you will experience shifts. Because I think that being able to work with different resources that get underneath the conscious mind that really allow you to go into some of those deeper places are incredibly useful at this time, because there's a small percentage of our conscious mind that's really impacting on things. And when you're working with different kinds of resources that will help you get to the subconscious level, that help to rewire and that also have a healing quality to it, you can really create some breakthroughs.
Wow.
Breakthroughs, not breakthroughs.
Yeah.
So I love it. I mean, I love making this available. And like I said, you can try it out for 30 days. If you don't like it, send it back.
Excellent. And you have some other program I'm looking at right now, Transform Your Fear into Power and Courage, self-study audio program.
That is a passion of mine, is helping people to transform their fear into courage. But I just added something that is probably the greatest collection that I have ever, ever, ever created. And I just made it available because I have only offered it on Telesummits, and in the last 24 hours I put it on my site. And it is a Living in the Spirit of Grace audio collection. It's 9 audios, all guided processes, very little content at all with theta, all with the energies of the divine through all of the audios. And if people want to have some real breakthroughs and shifts, these audios are the most powerful ones I have ever created.
Wow. Oh, gosh, you have so much here to offer, Lorraine. And, you know, I'm going to be, well, for tomorrow, I'm signing up for your monthly meditations. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
It's just so interesting because of, like, I was, you know, with your mother passing away, my mother, and, you know, I think we're around probably about the same age, and, you know, all the synchronicities.
It's amazing, isn't it, sometimes?
Yeah, it is. Very interesting.
And thank you for the courage and the passion that you have had for your own journey and wanting to make conversations like this available so people, women, understand that they have options and that they're not in these experiences alone, and there's so much available for them to really take control of their life and to create and live their greatest life.
Yes, I love doing the work, and people need to hear about all different options.
Yes.
There's just so many wonderful healers out there, if that's the word that you want to use, but so many people that can help and coach you, and
yep.
There's just so much information. You just have to seek it out, and having the courage to say, no, what's best for me, not from what I've been told to do, but what's the best for me, and really looking inside.
Yes.
And asking.
And run those decisions inside, even when you're out searching, because it can get overwhelming. You know, you can fall into that shiny object syndrome. I have to have this, and I got to do that. Run it through your filter. Is this resource, will it serve me in the highest and best way?
Yes.
Is this something that I am meant to take advantage of? Let your guidance be what supports you in making these kinds of decisions, because your guidance, your spirit, knows the shortest route to bring you to the highest place within yourself and within your life. And trust that whatever is coming up in your life is designed to support you in having a healing and a growth experience. Life is for you, not against you. And if you
yes.
can look at it from that perspective, you can see it for the blessing that it is, and it will always come in a form that has the best chance of having you create the greatest breakthroughs. So if it comes in the form of intensity, I know for me, I can be a little bit of a of a badass. So sometimes I need a little drama to get my attention. I'm hoping I don't need that much anymore.
That's funny.
I'm open for the grace now.
But I love that. Life is for you, not against you. So let's get on with the program. You know,
absolutely.
Let's get with it.
Speak to me in a language that is crystal clear in a concrete form that I can't miss. That's the way I ask. Talk to me like I'm 5 years old.
Yeah.
Don't give me code.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got angels to support. I use angels. My first go-to is not the angelic kingdom. It's still going to the divine. But I definitely call on angels. There are times when I'll call on the Archangel Michael, who I have worked with for years, to cut any cords and to clear my field and to anchor more light into my house. Or when I'm taking a shower, I'll use the water as a means of cleansing energy from my body and my field and turning it into light. Walking barefoot on nature and asking Mother Earth to pull energies from my body. There's so many things that we can do to take advantage of the resources, and a lot of it is free.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you, can you give out your information, your website, and whatever you feel guided to do?
They can learn a lot about what I'm about. I'm going to be doing some updating on my website. But right now, if you go to LorraineCohen.com, that's LorraineCohen.com, I invite you to look around, see what resonates. If you feel guided to join my email list, you'll get a free meditation with some Theta music that people have been just loving. And there's lots of opportunities coming up. I just invite you to look around and see what speaks to your heart.
Excellent.
And I am taking on some new clients, so if you would like to explore doing some personal work with me, it would be my pleasure and my honor.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Lorraine. I really appreciate you coming on tonight and for your honesty and your stories. That's what we need more. It's just people need to hear journeys, need to hear about people's journeys, and if that resonates for them, and that's something that can that they're drawn to, like, you know, everybody has a story, and I appreciate that you opened up so much tonight as to yours, so thank you so much.
My pleasure, and thank you so much for inviting me on, Brenda. It was a pleasure.
And we'll be doing another show here shortly, so just keep tuned and to checking us to messages and on my newsletter and Facebook. And thank you for everybody that listened tonight. And any further information as to any work that I do, go to whisperingenergetic.ca. So goodbye for now, and we'll be in touch, Lorraine.
Wonderful. I look forward to staying connected with you, Brenda. Many blessings
here
to you on your journey as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Bye.